Now, next, we're going to hear from our special guest, Ian Shaw, one of our most treasured jazz artists. He popped into the studio a few weeks ago to tell us about his new album, What's New. You're going to hear from him very soon, but let's hear something from that record. This is I Wish I Were in Love Again.
Sleepless nights, the daily fight, the quick toboggan when you reach the height. I miss the kisses and I miss the bites. I wish I were in love again. The broken dates, the endless waits, the lovely lover and the hateful hate, the conversation with a flying plate. I wish I were.
Guest tonight is a multi-award-winning vocalist, pianist, songwriter and radio host whose career started in cabaret clubs, where he performed alongside acts such as Julian Clary, Rory Bremner and Joe Brand. He was described by jazz critic Dave Illich as the voice of the decade and moved away then from cabaret and into jazz. He's released more than 15 albums, toured extensively across the UK, Europe and America, as well as collaborating with a host of other incredible musicians, including the likes of Quincy Jones, Guy Barker, Claire Martin, Kenny Wheeler, John Taylor, Barb Junger, Cleo Lane, John Dankworth and Joe Lovano, etc. He's also toured at the Edinburgh Festival, the Adelaide Cabaret Festival. He's toured with comedian Rory Bremner, mixing comedy and original songs, and he's just about to release his latest album, What's New. It's brilliant. It features the legendary saxophonist and composer Ian Ballamy and young piano genius Jamie Safier. I'm so thrilled to be joined in the studio by our dear friend, Ian Shaw. Hello.
Hello, and still can't spell definitely or privilege after all that.
And I was thinking that's quite a very long intro.
You've done
a lot, haven't you?
You can add yourself in there as well. I've had many a fun time on stage with you.
I've been very much enjoying this new album.
Thank you.
It's recorded absolutely beautifully.
Thank you very much. Well, it was just an absolute joy because it was Ben Findlay, who worked with Van Morrison and Peter Gabriel, and he knew the room really well. And we recorded it in Cooper Hall, which is a recital room for mostly classical music and chamber music. And we opened some wine, went in there, we had some charts, and we recorded probably about 20 songs and then picked.
Yeah.
And the songs were chosen, they were mostly chosen by Ian, and they're kind of an homage to the love that his father had for his family, and who his dad very sadly passed away quite recently. So a lot of the songs, I'll Only Miss Him, for example, was they were directly from their relationship, his mum and dad, which I thought was a nice way to, because you know me, or most of my albums are just drenched in misery and gloom. This one's not. It's kind of joyful and
there's a lot of love.
Yeah.
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 And so, I mean, did you produce it all together, or whose idea was it? You know, because I love the kind of, it's quite an eclectic grouping, isn't it? Piano, voice, and saxophone.
It is. I mean, I'm used to a bass in a studio or driving the whole thing myself and being kind of the orchestra, you know, in my fingers. And it's funny that I was worried about the lack of bass, but we'd road tested the material in smaller venues to see whether people enjoyed, you know, another sax solo. And of course, Ian is such a sort of tender but powerful, honest, truthful player. It just comes across, and it was easy, really. It's sort of played itself.
Yeah. It sounds conversational.
Thank you.
You all sound completely in the moment. And it often, I mean, I found in a kind of, you take the drums and the bass away.
You've done the same, haven't you? Small, you've done a beautiful duo album.
Yeah, I've done a few things like that. But when you take the glue out, and you know, you have to kind of claim ownership of time, don't you? Mm. You have to kind of keep an eye on it, both of you or whoever's involved. And the thing that comes across is so effortless that it didn't even cross my mind. It was just everybody felt so good.
Thank you so much.
Solid and beautiful.
Thank you. I met Jamie Safier. He's from Manchester. I met him via his grandmother, who's a big band singer on the Ships. And she said, you'll meet my son because he's at college. And I was like, whatever, you know, another person to meet. And we just clicked and we worked as a duo.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like the good thing to do. And I am completely rigid with kind of this, what you're just talking about, which is a sense of time and the right tempo in which to be able to tell the story, get the melody across, but also play around with it as well. So there isn't, there was a, surprisingly to me actually, I think all of us, there is this kind of inner clock that we didn't think that we'd find.
Yeah, it's wonderful. We've asked you to choose some music, you've chosen some lovely ones. In fact, there's such a long list, we can't play them all, but we'll whittle, love, yes. What would you care to start with?
Well, Lullaby of the Leaves is always, as a song, it's always fascinated me, and I've always enjoyed getting my teeth around the bridge, you know, the middle section. And I'm fascinated by the whole kind of Bernice meeting Joe Young thing. And this version, which is not ancient, it was recorded in 1969, Kenny Clarke and Francie Boland. And then when I read that, I really enjoyed it. My dad had it on vinyl. And I remember it because we had a very strange selection of records. It's mostly pop music and brass band music. But this particular album had a really creepy cover. It looked like the reissue. It looked like Lena Lovitch and she'd forgotten a blouse on the... I don't know whether you've seen the reissue.
No, guess where I'm heading though, as soon as you put the record on.
Yes, exactly. And you know, just the lineup on this particular version of Lullaby, it's got Johnny Griffin and Ronnie Scott on it and Tony Coe. And I just thought, oh, that seems like the right thing to do, really. And Anissa Harris has recorded it. Who knew that? Mm. So I love it. I love this.
Let's hear it now. The Leaves, the Kenny Clarke, Francie Boland big band. Was it from More Smiles, that record?
It was from More Smiles, yeah. And it's been put out, I think, three times. But the recent version, 2014, is the one to sort of get your peepers on, because you can't believe that an album cover looks like that.
Fantastic.
I'm saying them all.
That is the voice, of course, of the wonderful Ian Shaw, vocalist extraordinaire. He's one of our finest. Makes wonderful records, and that's what we're talking about, this new one called What's New. It's due out very imminently. And you're busy as ever, and planning. You were planning to be touring in Europe, but of course. That's
yeah. We were meant to be going to Europe, kind of after this, after me talking to you, more or less.
Yeah.
But you know, the world's on fire, and strange things are happening, and we just have to sort of take it day by day and hope, really, that the vulnerable in our communities all over the world are looked after.
Yeah, as in any kind of situation like this, everybody needs comfort, and music is a massive part of that.
It sure is.
So if you're stuck at home and you want something nice to listen to, buy this record.
I've taken to sort of sewing buttons on. So
doing useful.
Yeah, because you have to concentrate really hard. If you're me anyway, and you can't really see very well.
So let's play another record. And this one, Patty Austin. What a singer.
Yeah. She's one of those singers that you can put her in any kind of context and she'll deliver the heart of the style of what she is about to deliver. And I'm very, very, very lucky to know her now, and we've worked together. I've interviewed her maybe three or four times, and she just makes me laugh. She's such a hoot.
Wow.
And so knowledgeable, and so of... She straddles, you know, three vocal eras, doesn't she? Would you think?
I think the interesting thing about... I've done the song that you've chosen, You'll Have to Swing It, Mr. Paganini. Mm. I've done the Ella sort of version from Ella in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And what I love about what she's done, her sense of swing on it is, it's slightly different to Ella's, but she just does it so great. She makes it her own, even though she's doing it note for note.
She's transcribed it, hasn't she?
It's beautiful.
I like the kind of bluesy, she doesn't sound like Patty trying to sound like anything other than Patty, you know. But she still gets that, which is always fun. I can't do that. Can't do it.
Yeah, there's a few of the breaks where she's just herself and just goes for it. And it's like, whoa, that's amazing.
I know. And with the Vedia big band, and I'm sure we've both worked with them, they're just so brilliant to play. They're so loud and then really not loud. which I really like in a big band. And the addition of the strings, it just sort of, it's like another step up the textural highway, isn't it? I just love this version.
Oh, let's hear it now.
The concert was over in Carnegie Hall. The maestro took bow after bow. He said, my dear friends, I have given my all. I'm sorry, it's all over now. When from the balcony, way up high, there suddenly came a mournful cry. Oh, Mr. Paganini, please play my rhapsody. And if you cannot play it, won't you sing it? And if you can't sing it, you simply have to.
You'll have to swing it, Mr. Paganini. That's Patty Austin with the... I've always thought it was WDR big band, like something you'd spray on a door with strings from 2002. But is that the
I suppose if you're going to be the old Germanics, as Kenneth Williams say.
We often talk about records.
Yeah.
Do you still get a thrill about new music and looking for?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Every now and then, I just go have a little binge, you know. And open some soup and play them all. But I don't know what to play things on. People still send CDs and you think, well, I had to go and buy a CD player from a known brand shop.
Very good.
So I've got a CD player. So if anyone wants to send their CDs, do.
Well, dear Alex Garnett, one of our most talented alto saxophonists, I think he is extraordinary.
He is.
And he made a record, and it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of vinyl.
Mm.
You know, and it's like...
Oh, that's his new,
quality.
That's his last one.
Yeah, it's stunning. But trying to find somewhere to play it, it's tricky, isn't it? Yeah. I like a CD, though. I love the knowledge that we have on the CDs, because that's important, isn't it? We want to know where it's recorded.
Yes.
I want to be holding it in my hands, and I want to...
Me too.
You know, to read these sleeve notes.
Me too. Do you play records at home? Have you got records?
I have got records. I don't have a record player. I do have a record player. It's very, very small. In fact, the records are like twice the size. They hang over both sides. It's one of those ones where you can make it into an MP3, one of them. I'm another song that you've chosen that I love this record, and I'm a latecomer to Joni Mitchell, as you know, because for years I sort of struggled a bit.
Yeah.
But these orchestral albums that she made with Vince Mendoza doing the arrangements, I think that was sort of my journey.
Was it?
In.
Yeah. Yeah. Travelodge
from 2002.
It's Travelogue.
Yeah, but and is that Wayne Shorter? We're going to play God Must Be a Boogeyman?
Yes, it is Wayne Shorter. And Vince just pulled the whole thing together, Vince Mendoza. I was out of the country and I know that I could have got into that session easily.
It's so, so beautiful, isn't it?
It is, yeah. There's everything there. It was just listening again to God Must Be a Boogeyman, the track that we've got. And it's fantastic. It's this amazing marriage of the string section, which is so obviously there, and you can tell that Vince Mendoza loves writing for strings. And her voice and the amazing soloists on this one, particular Wayne Shorter doing his kind of painting thing, you know, through her, tripping through her phrases. But also these kind of big band chugs that sort of come in. And the conversation that came out of this amazing story, most of the lyrics came from notes from his partner when she was really panicking slightly about doing this project with Charles Mingus, who was then alive and he was on his way out. And God Must Be a Boogeyman was obviously something one or somebody in the room said. And there's things like Mingus 1, 2, or 3, because he sent her so many notes of little snippets of melody. And she's just saying, well, I don't know what I'm doing. And what's really good about it is she doesn't lose her Joni Mitchell-ness in any even when you put this whole big band and string thing around her. That voice just comes through and it's aged so incredibly agey.
He is three,
One's in the middle unmoved, waiting to show what he sees to the other two, to the one attacking, so afraid. And the one that keeps trying to love and trust and getting himself betrayed.
Joni Mitchell, God Must Be a Boogeyman. I'm Claire Teal, here on BBC Radio 2. We're listening to jazz singer Ian Shaw. He's our guest tonight. He came into the studio for a chat a few weeks ago. I asked Ian about meeting the great man who arranged all the music for Joni's travelogue album. This is what he said.
Jamie Safir, the previously mentioned genius on the piano, I took him for dinner to meet Vince Mendoza, and we wanted to ask so many questions about that session, and you could tell that he was a bit jet-lagged and he just didn't want to. And the thing that I wanted to know the most, and I know this will appeal to you, I just took a deep breath between, you know, the starter and the main. I said, Vince, does she like to count herself in? Does she set her own tempos? And he just looked at me and he just went, yeah.
I've often wondered, satisfied then. Well, do you know, it's got to be, because we're talking about the time and how singers have time when they're recording and stuff.
Yes.
And you know yourself as a singer, if somebody counts something in for you and it doesn't quite feel right, it's very disturbing, sort of, isn't it? You know, you're doing everything you can to either speed it up, slow it down as quickly as you can. And then there comes a point where it's like, oh, I'll just do it your way then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And sometimes, and when, you know, if you've got, I mean, I work with Barry Green and you work with Jason, don't you? Jason Rabella. I mean, just extraordinary musicians and really, really generous piano players when there's a singer in the room, you know.
Yeah.
And every now and then I want things a little bit slower because it makes the band play differently, you know, or a little bit faster. I'll count really fast. And it depends what mood you're in, doesn't it? You can't have someone counting
does.
In for you.
And sometimes it feels so different. You know, you're feeling the lyrics so differently and time feels different. And we had Harry Connick in, and
he has
one of his tunes for the celebration of Cole Porter.
Yeah.
The tempo is so slow.
Is it?
And he said it freaked the band out. Mm. Something like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
But it's so great just to have the discipline to do that. You know, and I think American musicians are so much more confident in their slow tempos than we are.
Do you know, we shouldn't really say that, the cross the pond thing, but I think so too. I think we have a different sort of notion of, well, the thing about the history of popular song was very different in this country as it was. We sort of emulated things, didn't we? But I agree. I love the difference with working with American jazz musicians. I love the difference, but I also absolutely cherish our own
Ian Shaw. It's so lovely to have you in. We haven't seen you for ages.
No.
And the very best of luck with this beautiful new album. It's just so lovely. Would if you were to choose a track for us to play you out, what would it be?
I think, again, it's a sort of bookendy thing, sort of life experience. I recorded Some Other Time with my then band, which had the wonderful Adrian York playing the piano, on a live album at Ronnie Scott's exactly 30 years ago. So the Some Other Time, you know, the Betty Comden and Larry Bernstein from On the Town. Adolf Green, I think. It's three of them wrote that one, didn't they?
Yeah.
It makes sense, the whole thing about the passage of time and looking after each other and, you know, sort of trying to look for in any way that you can protect somebody as a fellow human being. It's all in that song.
You're a wonderful human being, Ian. Thank you for coming in. And my goodness, your voice is just magnificent.
Thank you, Claire.
I will see you soon.
I hope so.
Take care, my darling.
Thanks a lot.
Some other time. It's Ian Ballamy on the saxophone and Jamie Sophia on piano. It's so good to see Ian again. And do check out his new record. It's called What's New, and it's great.